Hello and welcome back to the Time Will Tell podcast. I'm your host, Jason Hall, and it's so good to be back here with you again. Let me start off just by saying I look forward to hearing your stories and to being able to share those stories. So if you have a family history story, a DNA surprise story, or an adoption story, whether that's you looking for your biological family, or maybe you're looking for a child that you gave up for adoption, I would love to be able to share those stories with all my listeners. And you never know, we might be able to help you in that search. So please, 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 you're going to find in the show notes a link tree. And on that link tree, you'll be able to find all the places where you can get a hold of me here at the show. So it'll have the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook, it'll have Spotify, it'll have other places where you can listen to the podcast, it'll have the website. So all these places you can use to get a hold of me. So please, if you have a story you'd love to share, just reach out to me. So, and like I said, you can share your DNA surprise story because, as you know, if you've listened to my story, you can hear my DNA surprise story. And the thing is there are so many people out there who have those same kind of stories. And a lot of people want to hear about it. So if you'd like to share yours, reach out to me. It's been a while since I've done this, so I'm just going to kind of try to jump right into it. So I don't know about you, but the past generations of my family and of humankind in general come to mind to me many times throughout the day. Sometimes it's something as simple as a sunset, maybe a sunrise, you know, that makes me wonder about the sunrises and sunsets that my ancestors saw. I think of their day-to-day lives and what those days must have been like for them. So the time of my grandparents was way different than the time of my parents, which is different than the time that I'm living in. So I think of the days that they had, and, you know, there was no internet, there was no computers, there was no, for many of them, even running water inside the house, maybe. Sometimes they may have had it, sometimes they may not have had it. I know even when I was a baby, we didn't have indoor bathroom. So, you know, and I was only born in 75. So that just goes to show you that you don't know what everybody's day-to-day life may have been like. But anyway, like I said, when I see sunrises, sunsets, different things like this, I think about my ancestors and the ones that they may have seen. I think about their day-to-day lives, how they must have worked so hard to get to the point that they were at. Some of them working in coal mines, some of them working in lumber mills, just different things that they did to provide for their families. There are many things that I experience in a day that make me think about those past generations. So I recently came across something on FamilySearch.org, and if you know anything about that, it's part of the Latter-day Saints Church. And if you've ever been to their website, it's an amazing tool. It's free to use, but like I've stated in other podcasts, if you do use this tool, please be mindful that this is a tool that is used also for religious purposes. So be mindful of that and respectful of that. Because when they make these trees on there, they really desperately want this information to be correct. Because, it's like I said, it's used for religious purposes. So when you do your work on there, if you do your work on there, just be careful how you do it. Don't use it. And I would probably even go as far as to say, if you're new to doing family trees, please refrain from using it until you understand more what you're doing. So that little bit out of the way. On their website, they have a page that says, who am I related to that's famous, basically. And so on there, you can just click it and it'll show you people who come up with matches in your tree. So for me, I can't even remember the number of presidents that came up. George Washington was one. Not a direct descendant, of course. And Thomas Jefferson, again, not a direct descendant. And so it shows people who might be direct descendants or are not direct descendants. Maybe they're cousins far back. Another one for me was Marilyn Monroe, just off the top of my head that I can remember. Elvis Presley, which, funny enough, I live in an area now where his birthplace isn't that far from me, maybe in almost an hour away. So all these famous people came up that I am related to. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the kicker I want to stress to you. This is only accurate if your research is accurate. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. The accuracy of your research. If you are new to doing family history, which I suspect a lot of you might be, because that's kind of where I kind of geared my podcast to begin with. There's so many podcasts out there that are geared toward people who are seasoned in this. And I didn't want to go in that direction. I wanted to kind of go to a direction of people who are not seasoned genealogists or family history researchers. When you begin to do your family research, you always start with what you know. You start with yourself. You know your birthday. You know where you were born. I mean, well, most of us do. I'll say that. Most of us do, because we can't assume that everybody does. Most of us know when and where we were born and who our parents are. That's basically what you need to start with. From there, you take your parents, when and where they were born. If you know that information, you fill it in. Like, I suggest using Ancestry.com. It's a great tool. I love it. It's very helpful, and especially if you're new, I would rather you use Ancestry.com, like I said, than to go onto a church website and use theirs. Even though it's free and tempting, you want to get your information correct. And then you can go over to the free site and kind of compare the information and upload there. Okay, so when you get your parents' names, where they're born, and if they're still living, then that's all you need. Or if they've passed, then you put that information as well, the date of their passing and where they passed. And then, if you know your grandparents' names, you begin to enter that information as well. And this is where I found just recently a statistic that kind of shocked me. The statistics said that a majority of Americans don't know all four of their grandparents' names. And I thought to myself, wow, that's weird. That's really strange. But then as I thought about it more, I thought, well, you know, it's not really that strange, because families move. Families, maybe their grandparents have passed away. They never got to meet them. Maybe they're not into family history research like I was as a teenager. And so they don't ask the questions. They don't find out the information, which is, to me, sad, because it's important information. It's things that, as you get older, you kind of want to know. And when you're young, you don't think about asking, except unless you're like a genealogy nerd like I was as a kid. Like I've stated before, one of my favorite things to do would be to go to the library and look up local history information to see if I could find any of my family in those history books. Or if there was a local historian who had wrote anything, I could maybe see if they had my family listed in those. So back to your tree. Of course, you know all the information, of your information, and most likely your parents as well. I mean, generally speaking, most of us know that information. Not everybody, again. And that's what you need to start with. So from there, you begin to start getting hints on your tree. And a lot of times, especially when you're new to this, these hints are exciting. You know, you get very excited when you see them. And so you click and you start looking through the hints, and you're like, oh, wow, look, this is so cool. And a person who might not know as much about family history might begin to see these hints and think, oh, well, that's my grandfather, or that's, you know, that's my great-grandfather. And look, it says this. Okay, that's where we need to kind of calm ourselves down a little bit. And I know it's hard because it's so cool. I mean, if you're like me, this is just cool information. It's fun and it's cool and it's amazing. But we have to calm ourselves down a little bit before we go further. Okay, so if you know anything about your, let's give an example here. So let's say your grandmother's name, let's make up something, is like Martha Ann Smith. And say that you know her dad is Fred Smith and her mom is Darlene, married name Smith. This makes it a little bit easier for you to choose the correct hint. So say it's a census record and it comes up that you see your grandmother, Martha Ann Smith, listed as 6 years old in a census. And you see her parents are listed as Fred and Darlene Smith. Okay, you're already on the right track here. You're doing good. Now, if you open that record and you see that she has siblings, and say she has siblings to begin with, and those siblings' names match your grandmother's siblings' names, then you're pretty sure you've got the right record here. You can go ahead and accept that hint, and it'll automatically populate into your tree. And that means it will put the mother, the father, and the brothers and sisters into your tree if you have all that information listed. And you know that's probably going to be correct because you know the surrounding information. You've got birth dates of those people that are matching. You've got names that are matching. You've got everything that you know to be fact there, and including maybe the place that they lived. Now, let's say you don't know that information. Let's say you know that your grandmother's name is Martha Ann Smith, but you don't know her mom and dad's name. And so now you open up those hints, and you see Martha Ann Smith, and she's got parents, and maybe she's 6 years old, and she's got parents of named Fred and Darlene Smith. And you see another Martha Ann Smith that's 6 years old, and her parents are John and Velma. And you know your grandmother would be 6 years old at this point, but you don't know her parents' names. So now, maybe you don't even know her brothers and sisters' names either. And maybe she has no brothers and sisters. So you don't have verifying information to go with this. This would not be where you would go in and just pick one and add it to your tree because it might be wrong. And if you get this wrong, then all the information beyond this will be wrong too. So it will throw everything off. And a lot of times it's easier to do your history on the earlier generations like this. When you get back, like for instance, on one of mine, I think it's my third or fourth great-grandmother. Her name is Della, and her maiden name was either Harris or Harrison, and I can't yet determine which one it is to be the correct maiden name. So therefore, I cannot go forward at the moment with correct information beyond her. I have two separate things that one says that it could be Harris, and it's an actual record, and another one says that it could be Harrison, and it's an actual record with the names around it matching. And so what I can only assume at this moment is that maybe when one of those records was being wrote down, they didn't hear Harrison, they just heard Harris, so they only wrote Harris. Because a lot of times the people didn't fill these records out themselves. Someone else was filling it out for them and they would just take down the information. Or maybe when they said Harris, they thought they said Harrison and they wrote Harrison. So we don't know for sure. So, and there's not a lot of information past that for me to be able to verify. So there's other ways that we'll get into in other podcasts that you can begin to go in and try to search and find out how it is. We're not going to get into that in this podcast because that's not where I want to go with it. But I just want you to know that this is why we can sometimes begin to make mistakes in our trees. So when you make that mistake, like I said, it throws everything behind it off too. So when I started this podcast talking about the thing on the FamilySearch.org website that lets you know if you're related to someone famous, now you begin to see where if you accept hints that might not be correct, it throws off your tree. So therefore, this information wouldn't be correct. You may have accepted a hint that goes to someone else's family, and it's not your family at all, and you think you're related to this famous person, and you're not. So yeah, it can be a little overwhelming for you if you don't know what you're doing, but don't let that distract you. Don't let that deter you from trying to do it yourself, because it's so fun and exciting. It's fun and exciting when you find the hints that match up, everything goes, and you can add that to your tree, and you know for sure and certain that information is correct, and you are building that tree out. Now, another hint that you can get on Ancestry.com, and I think on FamilySearch.org too, it's been so long since I've used that part of the site, so I can't remember right off the top of my head, but it can show you other family trees that are available that have the names of your family in it. And this is where it can get really tricky, because it might have your information that you think is verified. It might have, let's say, your grandfather's name. It might have his name, his siblings' names, his mother and father's names that you know to be true, that you know for a fact those are true, factual statement. And it's there in the tree. And let's say you want to add that. And when you add that, it automatically adds the whole tree to your, you know, past that person to your tree. That's where we get into trouble. That's where we get into trouble, because we haven't done the work to verify any of that information past our grandparents. So we're just adding things like crazy because we get excited, because you can go in and look and you can go back and you can go back another generation, and you think, oh wow, my seven times great grandfather, look, he came back from Scotland and this is where he lived there. Well, it might appear that way, but if the information isn't verified and you don't know that it's correct, that might not be correct at all. So that's where you have to do the research yourself. And I know it can be exciting. It can be, you know, super exciting to find that information, and you want to add it so bad, and you want to just say, yes, this is my family. But I caution you against that. I would suggest that you take your time, verify the information you can, work branch by branch, verifying information, and it'll be work that you've done, that you've put in, that you know is true. And sometimes this could take a while. Sometimes it can be time consuming. But you have to understand, also, this isn't something that, you know, we want things so many times instant. And if it's not instant, we lose interest. So this has to be an interest that you're actually interested in, because it's not going to be something that's done instantly. There's going to be a little work involved. But that's where it's fun. That's where you get to play detective. That's where you begin to search into things and find out stories, amazing stories of your family. Like my sister, her great-grandparents came from Germany, and they didn't speak English. They lived in, I think it was Baltimore. No, I take that back. They lived in Rhode Island. They lived in Rhode Island, in Providence, Rhode Island, when they first came here. And from there, during the middle of the Civil War, they moved their family, not speaking English, across the country to Missouri. And he made shoes for the U.S. Army. And to think about these things, you know, the journey that this took, and you begin to find these stories out, and you begin to look because you might not understand that. You might think, okay, yeah, they moved. I see that they were here, and now they're here. But you don't understand. So that's when you begin to look at the history, the time period of when they moved. And you begin to think, oh, wow, there was a civil war going on during that time. And so did they not speak English, and they moved their family across the country from Rhode Island to Missouri, and in the middle of a war, you know, so it's crazy to think about. And that's when you begin to put these stories together. And that's the fun part. That's the amazing part that you begin to think about. Like my grandfather, him and his family, they had been in Missouri and in Arkansas, in Missouri, and then they moved back east to Ohio because of work. So because of work, they moved back east, and you begin to put these stories together, and that's where he met my grandmother, and then they got married, and they had kids, and they lived in that area the rest of their life. When you put these stories together, that's when this all gets exciting. That's when this all comes together for you. And it's worth not having it instant. Because when you have something instant and you just add it to your tree, you don't know the story. You don't know anything. You're just looking at information now. And the exciting part about it to you is where they lived, where they came from. That's the only thing that's exciting to you about it. But when you begin to dig into it and find the stories, that's when you get really invested in these people. You begin to feel like you really know them. Like, this is my ancestor, the good and the bad. Because believe me, you are going to find both. There's a lot of bad people in your family, just as much as there are good people. You could probably know that just from your immediate family that you have to deal with and that you know right now. There's going to be good people and bad people in your family. Just be prepared for that information as well. And also, what I wanted to bring out here was that when you begin to look at these things, like, you can know, you begin to see the inconsistencies. Because I saw on a tree the other day that someone had done. It showed, like, I'm just going to use a name that off the top of my head. They're saying John Miller was born in 1710, and he died in 1745, or 1760, let's say. He was born in 1710, he died in 1760. And then you go back and you see the father on this tree that someone else has already entered. And it says the father was born in 1745. Now you tell me, you just tell me, how in the world is John Miller going to be born in 1710 and his dad is born in 1745? It don't work. It don't work. So people who automatically add things into their family tree and accept these hints, they end up with mistakes like this. And so as you begin to look back through, you begin to see these and to notice these. The more you do it, the more you begin to notice it. And so you begin to stop yourself then, because you're like, oh, wow, that information isn't correct. I need to do some work here. That's where it gets fun, like I said. And sometimes you'll run into brick walls. Don't be surprised. You will run into brick walls that you can't find the information for. There are people out there who can help with that. And a lot of times DNA can help with that, especially DNA. I can tell you that with me right now, I have scrapped my tree a few times. I have started over a few times because I just wanted to double check some things. I've got several trees of mine that are working, and I only use one of them at a time, but it's because sometimes I'm just testing information. Now, on Ancestry.com, if you've done an Ancestry DNA test, they have a thing called through lines. And I'm not even going to lie to you, it's confusing. It can be very confusing. Because it tells you, okay, this is your parents, this is your grandparents, or possibly, I'll say, it's telling this is your possible grandparents, all this information. And then what you have entered into your tree automatically is, I mean, there's a way on there, without seeing it, I can't explain it to you exactly how it's done, but you know that information is already entered into your tree. Then it shows you other ones, like surrounding like a blue line that says, hey, this is a possibility of being your fourth great-grandfather. And you might automatically think again, hey, this is them. Let's enter this information. Let's accept this. Let's enter it. Again, this is where it can be a little tricky. That it's a very good hint because it's using DNA. But here's the thing. Let's say five people who are DNA matches to you all accepted the wrong hints in their trees. And all five of those people say that this person is their great-grandfather or whatever it might be. That's throwing that hint up to you saying, hey, this could be your possible great-whatever-back-grandfather or grandmother because it matches these five people, their trees, and they have a match of DNA to you. It might not be the case at all because the only way we would know if you were a direct match to that person is if we had that person's DNA directly. That's the only way. And we don't. We don't have our fourth great-grandparents' DNA laying around here that we can check. We don't have that. So the only way we can do it is if we find cousins of ours who share DNA. And then again, we're also dependent on work being done by them in their family trees. Because it doesn't automatically just pull up and say, oh, because you have this DNA, this is who you come from. We don't know that. We don't have that person's DNA. The only people's DNA we have are the cousins that we are related to that have tested. And so, again, those hints are only accurate if everyone's trees are accurate. If that makes sense. It can be a little overwhelming to think about and to process. But just going to let you know. Don't always believe everything that you see or find. Even when it comes to DNA, sometimes you need to do a little more work to verify those things. So I hope, with that being said, I hope this information is helpful. I hope this information is something that you can use as you go forward with your research. Again, if you need help, reach out to me. I'll be glad to help you. We can talk about it. I can help you just for even a small fee. I'm not crazy priced. I know a lot of times you'll find genealogists who will charge a lot of money. And it depends exactly on what you're doing too. There are some things that you would have to charge more for. But to help you out and get started, we can do that really economic, you know, in a real economic way. So if it's something you've dreamed about and you think, well, I just don't have a lot of money, I can't really do it, let me help you. I can help you get started. We can work on it. And then from there, we'll get you started and get you going. I can teach you how to do it and how to look for the information that you need. And then you can take it from there. And you can do your own work. Because a lot of times, that's what we're here for. That's why we're listening, even to this podcast. Because we want to do the work. We don't want someone else to do it for us. We're interested in doing it ourselves. But if you don't know how, I can help teach you. I can help get you the information that you need and get you started. So if that's what you want to do, feel free to reach out to me. Again, the link tree will be in the show information. You can find me everywhere there in that link tree. You can even leave a message for the show. If you want to leave a voice message, you don't want to come on the show exactly and be interviewed, you can leave a voice message by going in there, click on the voice message link in the link tree. It'll automatically open up and you can leave me a message. You just have to make sure to let it have access to your microphone on your phone or your computer, wherever you're doing it at. And you can leave me a message there. That's super simple. And we can even play that on the show. We can play it on the show and you're not being here, not interviewed. There's no pressure on you. So you can share it that way. If you want to share your stories that way. Again, I want to put that call out too. One more time. If you've got a story that you want to share, whether it's a DNA a surprise story, a family history story, a story about adoption, I would love to be able to share that and bring that story forward for you. A lot of times we don't understand that other people are out there going through, especially in the case of adoption, other people are out there going through the process of trying to find their biological family or trying to find a child they gave up for adoption. And they're just looking for a little hope, a little whatever. And sometimes, again, I don't want to be paint a picture that every story is rosy, every story is happy, because not all of them are. And I understand that. But people out there who are in this process, they also know that already themselves. But they want to see what other people have done, how it's worked out for them, how their stories have played out. And who knows, we might find other people out there who can help. But that's what I would love to do as this show grows, is build a network of people who can help others to find the information that they're looking for. So that's my goal for this show in the future, is to build a network that we can all tap into, and we can all reach out to someone if we need to, and I can put you in contact with who you need to be able to help you find the information that you need. That's my ultimate goal. And also, if you'd like to buy me a coffee, that link's on the thing too. It's not something you have to do, but I love coffee. I'm just telling you, I'm a coffee addict. I love it. It's my favorite thing ever in the world. I love coffee. So if you want to buy me a coffee, it'll help me. It'll help the show. Because if enough people do it, then I'll save that money and we'll upgrade our equipment. We'll begin to just upgrade. I just got a new mic, and I think it sounds a lot better than the old one, which the old one was a gift and it was great. It was what I had to start with. But this one is a little bit of an upgrade. But we can continue to upgrade, and we'll continue to get there. We'll go forward. And I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you coming back with me. I know I've been gone a while. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And so as I'm signing off, I just want to say good night, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are. I hope that you have a good one.